Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Congratulations, your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. How you living, Threes?
Living the dream, sir. Living the dream.
You are.
I mean, yeah. How about that breakfast that Cersei cooked up this morning? That's been every meal.
What did I text you?
You said the only time that I've been served something like that is at a Four Seasons
resort.
Or some resort.
Yes, something like that.
It's been that way for every single meal.
Jeez.
Like, it's been incredible. I told her, you know, she's been cooking me breakfast since Sunday or Monday. Mm-hmm. And not just breakfast, but it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Sure.
With the exception of I got one Uber Eats beep beep bop dropped off at the barn.
There you go.
Yeah, sir, just leave it on top of the car. Where do you want it? No, sir, I have COVID. Please, just put it on the car.
Just put it on the
Quit
car,
walking
man.
Towards me. I put it in the notes, right? Don't walk anyway.
Put it in the notes.
I did. You know how you can you can
yeah,
text that?
I do. The idea, by the way, that we're delivering Bibby Bop to a barn on 34 acres in
right?
Northwest Columbus is just
right?
awesome. That's
yeah.
just awesome. Where's the location? It's the Big White Barn, sir.
The Big White Barn. Yeah.
Just leave it on the car.
Leave it on the hood of the car, please. Where? Where do you want it? No, I. Dude, read
really?
Your, read
it's
your
in
phone.
The notes.
Look at your phone. Look at your phone. Look at your phone. And it's funny because I had the glass part of the garage door down, and the front one's open. So the front one's a normal, super tall, you know, RV size garage
yeah,
door,
right.
right? It's a black garage door with five you know window panes up top. That was open, and then the back one was closed, and that's the industrial you know black you know framed garage door, same height. And so I'm not only am I all the way far away, but I'm like speaking through the glass. Just leave it, you know. Just leave it, sir. Anyway, so we were separated. That's fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, besides that, Shelley's been cooking me meals.
Yeah.
Today is a big day for the Laurinaitis fam because the four girls go get tested all together today.
Okay. We'll get cleared.
I'm not optimistic. I'm not optimistic.
I hope so.
Remy had a fever in the week. Yeah. Even when I was gone, when I was out of town, Remy had a fever on Saturday and stuff. And then I think Hayden cannot smell anything. So I'm not really optimistic. But we'll see. She claims
Everybody's
she can smell the candle,
okay,
but
though?
Then she can't smell the kimchi. But anyway, here we roll.
We're doing okay. You're feeling all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm feeling fine.
This feels like
girls
you have a cold,
are doing
right?
great.
That's what you said. Kind of just got a cold. Kind of feels like you have a cold. Is that kind of where you're at?
That's where I was at. Yeah. Now I'm fine.
Okay.
It's just more of a waiting game to get out.
Okay.
But hey, you know, we're just keep on keeping on.
That's right.
I was able to had to do a little cleanup this morning at the barn. I told you, I sent you the photo. I'm not sure I ever talked about it on the show, but on Instagram, I put the beavers. The beavers, man.
Oh, gosh. I love the beavers. Yeah.
The beavers. And so I saw this tree down, and I'm like, why would this tree, which is a pretty significant tree down in the stream, be the one to fall after a storm and not one of these ones that's up on top of the hill? You know, just like the wind isn't going to knock down the lowest lying tree. It's going to knock down ones that are, you know, obviously the wind's higher up here on the hill. And anyway, so I drive down there and I see the beavers, dude, just totally took this one out. And so the problem is number two is about to go. Like number two is about to fall.
Sure.
And number two is already the branches. Some of the branches kind of go out over the power lines.
Yep.
But I don't think I'll put it this way. It's not heavy enough to where when it does fall, I think it'll just kind of bounce off and then roll and fall in the stream. But anyway, I did a little cleanup this morning, trying to cut up some of that tree. And the beavers, dude, they're incredible.
They're formidable.
They're incredible.
I love them, man. I love the houses.
Absolutely.
By
this is my first time, like, in the wild, man. Like, some beavers just take it off.
Work.
I don't know where they're damming, but
well, you'll
it's incredible.
See. Soon enough, you'll see. Do you ever think about this as you were talking about Bill Beaver that you have to deal with down there? And you have that's my recommendation. Name him so that way the girls can say, "What's Bill up to today?" And you can go show him what Bill. Bill's building a house, and Bonnie's in there. She's working on some things. What do you ever think about the idea that the state of Oregon's two state institutions, University of Oregon, who of course we play in 2 days, and Oregon State are Ducks and Beavers? Names not formidable. As animals in the animal kingdom. Typically, when you name college teams,
a little more vicious.
You go with something a little more formidable than a duck. Now, I wouldn't want to cross a beaver. I mean, I've seen their teeth. I don't think I feel like it wouldn't necessarily go well.
No,
but you're certainly not scared.
Like if
of
you
them.
Can chew through wood,
chew through a leg, if you want.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But I still think they have that viciousness in them.
I think they have it in them.
No.
I think they're good boys. I think Bill's a good boy. He's out there doing his work, trying to provide for his family.
You know, when you see him at the zoo and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then a duck. I mean, you know how I feel about ducks? Probably the only bird that I like.
With all birds? Okay. You like
Oh, no. I think mallards are fantastic.
Okay.
They're dressed in a suit, for God's sake. What do you want? They got a nice little green head. They don't come at you. I've never seen an aggressive duck.
I feel like God put a little more time in the ducks. You know, I feel like he was and the birds of the sky. And
even the mom.
Ducks, come here.
Mom's got a little fleck of blue on the wing. Just a little bit of blue on the wing. Just to give you
Speaking
a little
Speaking of taste. Beautiful birds, the state bird of Minnesota, the loon.
The loon. I mean,
have you ever seen a loon?
Of course. What am I, heart of loons?
Maybe.
Of course I've seen loons. We have loons in Montana.
They're beautiful. The red eye, though. The black head with the red eye and the specks in the back.
Yeah, they're cool.
That's my childhood, Bo. All right? It's going up to Lake Vermilion in Norwegian Bay. Okay, we had Little Island, Big Island out across the bay. We were one of four cabins on this massive area, no electricity over there.
You know,
so you're boiling lake water. The way you showered was you put the bag of water in the sun all day, hang it up, you know, let it just flow. Boom, there we go. Rinse off.
Perfect.
Uncle and grandpa built a legit sauna. You know, let's get a fire going, get these rocks hot, sweat, fantastic. And then run
so
down
great.
The rock into the lake that might be 54 degrees in the middle
that's
of
it.
July. But anyway. That's how
need.
I grew up. Grandma with binoculars talking about, listen for the loons. Can you spot them? Grandma, just tell me where they are. No, this is part of the adventure. Okay.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Yesterday on the show, we said that by the way, NFL starts tonight. Well, let's be an NFL
does it?
Show. A lot of NFL today. Gonna do some predictions, some previews. We are in the AFC North in 2 days, so you get your Bengals. Do a little Steelers. We'll do the Browns and the Ravens tomorrow. You'll hear from Baker Mayfield. His press conference before the game against Kansas City was yesterday. I thought said some illuminating things in terms of just kind of where he is, where they are. I actually think Browns have a pretty good advantage in one specific area that could be significant in the game. Fun game. Really fun way to open it. Bengals open with Minnesota, the team of your youth, and we're going to get into all of that. But I did want to mention a couple things on the Bucks out of the gate. You play Oregon in 2 days. We talked yesterday about what we were hoping Oregon would wear. It's not what we hoped for, but it's still really clean, and there is a prominent green in the uniform. So I'm okay with it. I would have loved a little bit of yellow. And it's not an A+, but it's a B+, as they're in the Stormtrooper with the heavy Kelly Green accent, which it could have gone so many different ways. So at least they're going to look like Oregon.
I appreciate what they've done.
Yeah.
Like I said, all I didn't want was like the white and the, you know, their Stormtrooper look, you know, to wear
white and gray. Which is what they wore in the chipper against us.
Yes. And I'm like, you were in the national championship. Wear your
colors.
Oregon. I didn't need them to go all crazy, you know, where they wore the actual, like, duck, like where they all looked like the mascot. Remember, they had the orange socks. And
I
don't need that either.
In the title, they even chose the white to be the away team because they were the higher seed. They could have chosen their true color and been the home team.
Here's what I think happened.
So they allowed us to wear the beautiful gray sleeves.
This is what I think happened here. I think Phil Knight said, look, Ohio State looks pretty great in the scarlet over gray, and they wore white against Alabama. We look good in white, too, so why don't we go ahead and wear, because Oregon was the two, and I believe they wore green in the Rose Bowl against Florida State. They were the two seed, I want to say, in that. So Nike goes, well, what if we can get them to wear all four of their, or both teams to wear both of their colors? So I don't know if it was quite as magnanimous as Oregon saying, well, we want to wear white, so much as it was Phil Knight saying, we really like them both to wear the specific uniforms we made for the playoff.
Mm.
Uncle Bo. Just that's, you know, mean, little you, scores. Mean, little scores mean, for the kids.
Yeah. Well,
for the kids.
For the kids out there?
Yeah.
Must be nice to have so many connections, you know, just in the Rolodex.
Well.
Just so many sources.
I'm an old man. I'm an old man, Therese. I'm a man. I'm 40. You know. You meet people through the years.
Sources. You heard it here first. You know, Bo Bishop, right here.
I'm pretty sure they wore green in that.
Direct text from Phil Knight himself.
I remember the comment. Yeah, they were all green in the Rose Bowl. Yeah. Florida State wore white. Nailed it.
Those beautiful.
So that's how I remember it in my mind's eye. Sorry, as you were saying. But I think they look good. At least they got the green.
I do too.
And I hate the Thibodeau. Thibodeau, is it Thibodeau? Is that what we settled on? I've heard it both ways. We had
so now
Oregon
Reeser tells me that in the Fresno State Reeser. Package, it said Thibodeau. In the Ohio State media package from Oregon, it says Thibodeau. So it says both in consecutive
Reeser's
weeks.
This whole thing up because we had the Oregon guest on last week and he said Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Remember that? Last week when we were doing Pac-12 previews.
Well, to be fair, the Fresno State Thibodeau. Answer came originally from Paul.
So
I trust Paul
Keels. Of course.
Hold on. Is it Olave or is it Olave? Because yesterday I heard Olave on our show and I was a little confused.
I hate to see that. But what you
know. Gus Johnson within the same telecast calls it Mohammed Ibrahim and then Laterham Ibrahim and then, sorry, Ibrahim. All within the same broadcast.
He corrected himself with an incorrect correction.
Yes,
after saying it correctly the whole time.
Well, rumor is, according to a little birdie, he just has somebody feed him the card with the pronunciation. So, you know, maybe it's the side person that had that one wrong. So I don't know how you get it right for the first 30 minutes.
I wonder if he ad-libbed the last one and just tried to read it after seeing the pronunciation.
Nobody really cares. He could have. Yeah. It could have been their big touchdown run, and he could say Mohammed Ibrahim, and everyone would be like, "Oh, Ibrahim's amazing!"
I do,
and no one cares.
I know they're your people, but have you ever noticed how when like Fox treated Jump Around as if no one had ever seen it ever?
That's a big play too, though. Just
that's their move. It's almost like because
their move this year, and you'll see this every single game.
Yeah.
I promise you. This year's theme for Fox in general, and you'll see it on Sunday for the NFL games, is the year of the fan. The whole it's awesome. But the whole premise is we're going to do above and beyond coverage of hopefully people laying out and taking in the scene. Our open, usually for shows, is like 4 minutes, right? We had a 10-minute open in the Indiana versus Iowa. We came on, there was a little scene set. Boom, tunnel walk, full band playing, the full thing.
Awesome. That's great.
You know, so like we're on for the full national anthem, and then, you know, boom, on camera for 30, you know, 40 seconds, and then we're kick. But that's the whole idea is any tradition in college, any kind of scenery stuff, like we are going to over and above showcase the fan, the experience, the atmosphere, and because, you know, the year of the fan. And so I think that was the thing is like it was the anticipation of, dude, this has been almost 600 something.
It was
days.
Really cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's that really awesome. Cool. But I've noticed that, you know, as they're new back into the football in recent years, that when they go to the places, and again, I like it. I do like it. But it was almost like no one had ever seen Jump Around before. They've been doing it for a long time.
Right.
They've been doing it
my
for
favorite,
a really long time.
One of my
time.
Favorite memories
like
of college.
If they come this weekend and they're like, and now, this is Script Ohio. Yeah. Yeah. We know.
Yeah.
We know. Now, it'll still be cool.
Yeah.
I'm for it. But we've been doing it for a while.
But they should show the whole thing. I would be surprised almost if they don't show it from start to finish.
Boy, do you need all... It's a while.
It is a while. It is
a while. I think you can pick it up from the final O to the dot. I think that's...
I do too.
You know,
but
get the final O to the dot. I'm always nervous. I've seen it 100 times. I'm always nervous at the H. The H, I panic every time they do the cursive H. And they,
I got a question.
They
has
cross,
anyone ever
I'm
fallen?
I'm always like, oh,
has a tuba
my
player
God.
Ever fallen?
Be careful, boys and girls. Be
doing
careful.
Doing the high step to dot the I?
I don't think. I've never seen a record of it.
I'm just saying, back in the day, you don't think in the history of our school someone's rolled an ankle?
No, I'm sure somebody has, but it was probably
barrel rolled with the instrument,
maybe,
got up,
maybe
tried
before
to,
it was
nothing
captured.
Happened here. You know,
maybe before it was captured on film. Have you ever seen it? Anybody trip? I've never seen anybody.
Maybe they burned the tape. I don't know.
Could have.
You can't be called
like
the best damn band in the land with that happening. So maybe they burned the evidence. You know,
don't
maybe it's
ever
like the
go
OTA
against the firm
that happened. It's never happened. What do you mean? We're going too hard, coach. No, we weren't. There's
Where's your proof?
Practice.
I don't see proof.
There's no proof
There's
here.
No proof.
My favorite moment, though, going back to jump around in college, one of them was playing at Wisconsin senior year.
Sure.
And Malcolm was, or is, an Omega Sci-Fi. And so when they started playing jump around, I just remember our whole sideline started jumping for one. But then we were winning. And it was just this whole, like, Malcolm had this whole idea of, like, when they do that, I'm just going to start doing all my whole frat stuff on the sideline. And I just remember, like, the look of disgust in the fans' faces when we basically, we weren't mocking it. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe we were. We were just participating. Like, we weren't intimidated. We're beating you. And then the best part is that Malcolm gets the game-sealing pick. So it was just kind of like a... It was a nice little cherry on top. They had a good team, though. They had a good defense. They had Jonathan Casillas at linebacker, DeAndre Levy. Gosh, what was that safety they had that was a headhunter? I thought, I mean, one of them hit Boom Heron so hard. I think his soul left.
I do remember a big hitting safety for them.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Boom got smoked so hard that I think he had out of body for a few seconds.
Well, they were a full day physically. I mean, they always were up front.
John Clay was their tailback, about 250 pounds.
He was a load. Yeah, he was a load. Look, it's going to be awesome Saturday, Script, Ohio. All of it. All of you back in there, those of you who can get in, it's going to be spectacular to tailgate again. My goodness. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And we can't wait. And it's going to be fun. And the matchup's going to be fun. And there's a little juice off with the Thibodeau situation, because that was something that everybody in football was going to want to see. And I think it's fair to say at this point, I heard Chris Ball talk yesterday. There's no way he's 100%. I mean, if he plays, it's
Shane Carter,
unlimited.
That was the safety. Jake Ballard remembered. He texted me.
Hey, since JB's listening and texting you, ask him if he won that the golf tournament last week with Tim May and Moose, because they had a pretty good team for a scramble. I would think that they'd have a pretty good shot at it.
I love how you're asking me to ask.
Well, I'm asking him because he's listening.
He's not even listening. You know?
No, I know he's listening. I'm saying he'll text you the answer, and then we'll know.
He said no.
Sad. Hate to see it. Hate to see it. I really liked him. I thought they had a heck of a chance. It's a good squad.
Well, with him, I mean, if he can put the thing in play, going, you know, with his drive, most holes, you're 80% of the way to the hole.
But that's a scramble. All you need is like four drives. That's it. And that's enough as far as he hits it. And Moose is so good with the former sports director at Channel 10, so good with the around the green.
Golf balls literally cry. Yeah. Yes, they leave the tee box when Jake's.
Yes. They do. The AAC is going to shed a tear as well, as that's reaching completion.
Aren't they?
Oh, boy. Where do we go from here with the Big 12? This is a monster move from the standpoint of, folks, there will be a second Power 5 in the state of Ohio for the first time ever.
Love
Cincinnati and Luke Fickell. And what does that change for him in that job? Get a little Buckeyes in over the course of the next couple of hours as well. And a fascinating number on why all of this stuff is happening, why expansion is happening, why these television contracts are being renegotiated and negotiated and put to market. It's because you love college football, kids. We'll get to that. Plus a lot of NFL today. NFL season kicks off tonight. Bucks and Cowboys, a heavy dose of the National Football League, including beating Z House.
Ooh.
Off and running. Bishman Laurinaitis, right here in the Fan.
All sports, all the time, and whatever it is Common Man and T-Bone do, we still don't know. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Threes and Uncle Bo. If you know, you know. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. And if you're in the market for a new car, there are amazing deals still happening at Germain Toyota on Highlanders, Tacomas, Camrys, all their models. But don't forget, if you want the best deal on your trade-in, or even if you just want to sell your car, Germain Toyota will buy it. Even if you don't buy one of theirs, stop by and see my good friends, Buddy and DeLacy at Germain Toyota for a hassle-free, no-strings-attached offer. So whether you're buying, trading in, or selling, make sure you go to 5711 Scarborough Boulevard or check it out online, germaintoyota.net.
All right, I got this from Brother Bone, who tells me that his lovely bride was into Biddle, and that it can get quite physical in the crossovers at the H and the O, also the loop and the O, that it gets dicey. And they're basically told to make it work.
Of course. Figure it out. Holy cow. You mean to tell me there's not one thing on film to where there hasn't been
probably,
a collision?
Maybe they're just warriors.
Just denting
out there. They
of,
just keep
of
going
instruments.
Because you got to. For the love of Ohio.
Yeah. I mean, hey, boom, bounce Ooh. Off. Come on, pivot. Keep it rolling.
Pivot.
You know?
That's unreal.
That's got to be a nightmare
That's
of so
crazy.
Many of them.
Oh, my
I would
gosh.
Have to
just
imagine.
Getting smoked by a trombone?
Just like you go to pivot on that H and then,
oh
gosh.
Just bonked.
You know? Because that, you're, dude, if you have
it's
instruments,
an instrument
Clyde,
of brass.
Those things are heavy, man. Some of those are heavy.
Yes, coach. Black Cobra was like, so they're like, oh, it's time to play orchestra. So he's like, well, I'm going to play the cello. I can do what? What are you
dude,
doing?
I played like the trombone.
He's like, no,
or
Dad, I want to play the cello.
It.
I go, here's
so
an
bad.
Idea. You're not musically inclined. You're my son. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's settle down.
Yeah.
So if they're making you do something, do choir. But if you have to do an instrument, go get
both.
A trumpet or something.
I had to do
pal.
An
play the drums
year
so you have two sticks.
And both were
Come
just
on.
Poor.
Awful. Terrible. A cello? Hey, who's hauling that around?
Mm-hmm.
You? Looking at him, 9-year-old, can barely get his backpack together, and now he's going to haul around a cello? Good Lord.
Great
right.
character.
Put yourself in a position to succeed, pal.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's a motto of the Bishop Way.
I'm with
Give
you.
Give yourself a chance.
Slap the bass or something, kid, you know?
That's right. Cincinnati giving them... All right, so what do we make of this? We said this last week, these would be the teams, and then a day later, it was reported that these are the teams, and now by tomorrow, by Friday, this will be official to be accepted into the Big 12 Conference. The Big 12 is losing Texas at Oklahoma, and they're replacing them with BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston,
yep.
which is obviously not an apples-to-apples replacement. Goes without saying. That said, in terms of salvaging a bad situation, how's this sit with you?
Well, I have mixed emotions. One is, for one, I knew that this was something that the University of Cincinnati has been wanting to do
for
a while.
So long, yeah.
They've been wanting to join the Big 12 basically since the American started. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for him, but I know that I'm sure if you're Luke Fickle and you've been told by your leadership that you've been trying to get to the Big 12, that kind of plays into, well, why would you leave if you're already at a job you love and they're trying to get into one of the Power 5 conferences, right?
Yeah.
Now, I assume that when that was being talked about, this is years ago, that they probably thought Texas and Oklahoma was in the Big 12 too, right? So,
sure.
So you think, oh, gosh, what an awesome opportunity. However, I love this for the state of Ohio. I think that it's always been... I just talked to Tressel about this the other day. It's been incredible how the state of Ohio hasn't had two Power 5 teams yet. When you look at a lot of lesser states when it comes to football,
sure.
states that care less about football, and they have more than one Power 5 level school. So that's where I'm at. Now, what will it do on a national landscape? I think it's very interesting. The addition of BYU makes sense. Brand-wise, internationally, it won't move the needle from a television... None of these moves move the needle
none
from a television
will.
Perspective.
BYU's probably moves it the most.
They do. BYU does the most, but still, domestically, people don't really
it's very
rock
Utah
that
specific.
Way with television BYU. There are a lot of... I don't want to say hiccups. Obstacles with BYU. One of the most prevalent is they refuse to do anything on Sunday.
Correct.
So
won't travel.
They won't travel on Sunday.
Yeah, so
they
no
won't
night,
play
Saturday
on Sunday. So all the other sports that have
Provo. Yeah.
So scheduling wise, Sunday's off limits. So it basically everyone else is going to have to adjust to them. So yeah, I think that's really the most, and that's why they've been left out of conferences. They've been left out before because of their beliefs. They've been left out because of the fact of Sunday and they won't travel, which is an offset of the beliefs, right? So, but I think that ultimately the Big 12 had to do something, and they're making their move. I'm surprised they didn't bring SMU.
Me
but
too.
I guess when you have Houston, what
I just
what
think
else
there's vitriol with SMU that goes back 30 years and people in that like Baylor Tech, TCU, like they will not get over it.
I'm sure
they won't. But I think SMU is a better brand than Houston.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, give me SMU instead of Houston. But, I mean, honestly, they're at 12 now. I mean, get to 14 and take SMU and, I don't know, South Florida or Memphis. Take Memphis.
Right.
Take Memphis. Take Memphis and SMU and put those two together. You know, give go that way. But if you look at it from a straight split 6-6, if you want to do it that way, the way I would split it, if I were Bowlesby running that league, I'd go West Virginia, Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, Kansas State, and Kansas in one side, and I'd go Baylor, TCU, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, BYU, and Iowa State on the other. And away you go. That's the way you do that.
Cincinnati is the highest ranked.
The biggest
in that conference, you eliminate Texas and Oklahoma, right?
This is so big for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Not just, a football schedule that now gets you into Texas on a regular basis.
Yeah.
A football schedule that gets you regular dates with Iowa State and Oklahoma State, all of that. West Virginia, like a true rival.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then the basketball side of it, it's incredible. I know that's secondary to football, but I mean the basketball side of it, the fact that the Kansas Jayhawks are going to be playing at Cincinnati. It's a big deal on the hoop side of things.
Yeah.
It's a very, very big deal. Why is all this happening? So this wasn't even the most watched game of the weekend. I saw this yesterday, more people watched Georgia Clemson than 5 of the 6 NBA Finals games.
Yeah.
And you say, well, of course, it's college football. Yeah, it is. It's a top 5 matchup. By the way, Florida State and Notre Dame was even more. But think about how regional Georgia and Clemson are. Clemson's in a town of 10,000. That's as southern a school as it gets. And people are more interested in that than an NBA Finals that Giannis was in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why all this is happening. That's why Oklahoma and Texas are in the SEC. Yep. That's why they're redrawing these deals. That's why they want to renegotiate the television contract on the playoff, because it's the second most important sport in the country from a viewership.
Yep. Yep.
Football runs the show.
It does.
NFL, dominant. But college football is second.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have, in the last decade plus, have passed the NBA, lapped Major League Baseball, it's a remarkable development.
I think it's ironic that, I thought viewership would just be at an all-time high, during the pandemic. I actually found some of the games hard to watch because of the empty stadiums.
Me too.
But with the stadiums filled back up again, it's like people are like, yes, this is what I remember when I tune on a random game. It's because you see the awesome traditions. You see the awesome just craziness that's happening. Like, there's no way if that North Carolina-Virginia Tech game had no fans in the stands that I'm paying attention to it.
Oh, it was
infectious. But I wanted to watch. Ever since they started that damn thing with Enter Sandman, I was hooked. Yeah. I was hooked for the whole game. And I was, it's because you could sense, you could get this overwhelming feel of momentum on Vautech's side that you're like, man, I'm not sure this is going away all game. Like, it's there. Yeah. And I think that's what brings so much joy to the sport of college football and why the ratings are through the roof.
Yep. Yeah, it is. And it's only going to get better and bigger as it goes forward, because it's going to be about those matchups, that those television shows, which is what they are. That's what football games are, the television shows. Going to be a big one here at noon with Oregon here for the big noon kick on Saturday. Pretty big one on Sunday afternoon for the Cleveland Browns, opening against Kansas City at Arrowhead. Baker Mayfield on what they are staring down coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here in the Fan.
Matty Ice never placed a bet before meeting Anthony Rothman. And now, where both his kneecaps are broken, Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Hello.
It's Bishop and Laurinaitis is What's Up.
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Honda dealers.
Well, NFL season kicks off tonight. Bucks and Cowboys, that is certainly one of the marquee games. Bills and Steelers, pretty dang good as well. I think the Saints and Packers is an interesting game. You'd be hard-pressed, though, to argue around here that there is any more anticipated than the opener in Kansas City with the Browns and the Chiefs. There's a lot of reasons for that, obviously, chief among them that this is a Browns town in terms of the amount of people who love the Browns in this town. And also the fact of how long it's been, and the fact that it's Romo and Nance, and the fact that it's two-time defending AFC champions against a team that thinks that they're right there with them. And I agree. I do think they're right there with them. And I think it's really a perfect opener for Kevin Stefanski, for Baker Mayfield, for that team, for the remade defense. You want to see where you're at. This will give you an opportunity. Here's your quarterback, Baker Mayfield, on Kansas City, being the gold standard in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you said it, the gold standard. I mean, they've been top of the top in the AFC for the past
decade or so. So, I mean, it's, yeah, they're highly competitive, so it's good for us to play somebody like that. But, you know, it's all about the next game. So we're playing the Chiefs this week, and then, you know, hopefully, obviously, looking for a win, and then move on to the next one after that. And you try and improve each week, and so this week we're trying to just do our job.
Everything that they did and have done for 2 years with this regime, but especially this season, was done with Kansas City in mind. And to a certain extent, Buffalo and the Ravens. And you say, well, what exactly do you mean? So when they played Kansas City last year, the thinking was, we're not fast enough. Kansas City has more speed than us, especially when their offense is against our defense. And when Mahomes is out there, we can't hang. We don't have it. We can't match up with Travis Kelce. Few can. Few can. We can't hang with Tyreek Hill. Again, few can. Right? So what do we got to do? Well, we got to get faster. We got to get longer. And that's what they did. That's what they did. Is it, now, the issue is, for them, is their defense hasn't played any together all fall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the starting defense on Sunday in Kansas City hasn't played together at all due to injuries and, you know, just being cautious throughout that roster. So yeah. I don't think that what you're going to see Sunday is the finished product, but it's a hell of a lot better than what they ran out in Kansas City in the playoff game last year.
The good thing about defense is you can overcome a lot of crap with just attitude and effort, right? Pursuing the football. It's amazing how many bad plays I saw. Even just the long touchdown run by Trevion Henderson on the swing pass. That's all effort, man. There's a guy from Minnesota that is like running, and you can tell he doesn't know where to line up, and the ball is thrown, and he starts jogging. Like, he loafs. He jogs, assuming that the three DBs out there are going to make the tackle. Trevion cuts back inside, and the guy tries to change gears, and he can't catch him. If you're just sprinting the whole time, that's an 8-yard gain.
Yeah.
It's an 8-yard gain. Instead, it goes to the house. Like, defense is not that crazy complicated. Just run to the damn ball. Yeah. So a lot of this stuff, you know, the little nuances and coverage, all that, I think will come as the season goes. Those are coaching points that sometimes you just got to have stuff get hit. It doesn't matter if you've practiced together or not, like certain route concepts that you haven't been able to practice every single thing in the world against. But ultimately, there are a lot of things that can kind of be covered up by not only attitude and effort, but that damn pass rush. Like, if Garrett and Clowney and those guys are able to get after Mahomes, then all of a sudden you have... okay, stuff in the back end that maybe we need to touch that up. Doesn't matter. Mahomes is on his back. You know, we can correct it after hopefully a W and move forward. I'm excited to see what this defensive unit can do. Obviously, week one, it's not going to be an end-all, be-one. If you look at the past, I mean, what is that? I saw a stat, Bo. Past, you would know this because you're Mr. Brown. But like the last 16 years, the Browns' record in week one is...
oh, can't win.
They can't
haven't
win.
Won.
Every other team has five victories in week one. The Browns have zero.
Right. And furthermore, to further your point, Mahomes is like undefeated in September and like 35 touchdowns, no picks.
Yes.
In September.
Yeah.
So, no. It doesn't line up well. But you're right on, and this is the most important thing. And there is this, and this is the thing that I mentioned. There is a specific matchup. There are matchups all over the place. You go, here's a slight advantage here. These two teams are very evenly matched, but there's one matchup that is decidedly, from on paper, decidedly in the Browns' favor. Decided by a wide margin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their defensive line against a Kansas City offensive line that's got five new starters. Now, they're talented players. But, buddy, three of them are rookies, and one's a sixth-round pick. Okay? Three rookies, one's a sixth-round pick. Five new starters on that offensive line. You talking about Garrett?
That's where
Clowney.
That's where you can. That's
Malik
where you have
Jackson.
To win. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, Malik McDowell. I think Malik McDowell is going to start. You think about, just think in your head the size of those four human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you don't know what's going to happen with health. Malik McDowell's had all sorts of issues off the field, and previously he's a rookie. This is his first NFL game. But I'm telling you right now, and this is a scores moment, kids. They have wrecked the Browns' offensive line in ones versus ones.
Mm.
Browns' offensive line is maybe the best in football.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what's now. You're not doesn't mean you're going to win. Mahomes is Mahomes, man.
Right.
But the only chance you have with him, you can't blitz him. You can't blitz Mahomes. And so the only chance you have to get home with four. You got to get home. It's your only chance. And they have the human beings capable of it.
Yep. Yep. So, I think so.
It's a great opener. It's an absolutely great opener for them. And you can hear it, of course, right here on the Fan. Nick Saban. He's the best. We'll explain coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
We are everywhere. On your radio. Online. The Fan app. Alexa. And behind you in your car. Right now.
Too creepy?
Sorry. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Two legends. One show.
Well, it's all a lie.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And join the Fan 10TV, the Ohio Education Association, as we honor classroom heroes. In these times, teachers and educators need the support and recognition more than ever. Nominate your classroom hero at 971thefan.com/heroes. So, if you go back to week one of college football, there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of disappointments. Some teams surprised, some teams were better than you thought, some were worse. The one thing that was, I mean, I think absolutely stamped across the board was that Alabama remains Alabama. And they're just different. They're different than everybody else. They've been this way since Saban's been there. Well, really since year two or three since Saban's been there. They just have, there's no drop-off for them from year to year. And they dominated. They could have beat Miami 110-0 if they wanted to. So you say, well, you have a content. By the way, I believe they play Mercer this week. I think Alabama plays Mercer this week. Nick Saban at a press conference. Let's have a listen.
So now we basically played one half of one game. All right, we went ahead 27-0 in the game. And then it was basically 17-16 after that with two stops inside the 5-yard line. And, you know, so we didn't maintain our intensity in the game. So we were affected by the scoreboard. So we haven't proven that we can play for 60 minutes. Then we come out on Monday and really not ready to practice. I guess because of respect we have for the opponent, I don't really know all that. Or maybe it's what they read on social media or in the media or whatever after one half of a game this season.
He's not having it, Threes.
No, he is so on brand.
You remember that this is a branch off of the rat poison.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
Like six, 7 years ago, he did the rat poison.
Yeah,
but people tell him how good his team was. It's rat poison. That's what this is. That's what this is. Yeah.
Look, it's why he's the best.
Yeah.
It's why he's the best. It's an understanding that he knows exactly what's being said about his team, and he's not going to let up at all, no matter who they're playing.
Not having it.
I'm going to put my thumb down harder this week because we're playing Mercer.
We played one half of one game.
Yeah, we played one half of one
game.
And I don't know if it's respect to the opponent. I don't know if they're reading their social media. He is the Michael Jordan of football coaches.
Meaning
he will make up.
No matter what, he'll find it.
He will make up some kind of disrespect or some kind of lack of attention. My guess is they're probably practicing pretty damn good.
Oh, I bet they're practicing hard.
Yes.
Hard with Mercer this week.
I would expect they do one-on-one live periods this week.
Ones and ones. Yeah.
Because they need the work to get better because they're not obviously going to get any challenge out of Mercer. It's incredible. Like, his ability to continually push the gas down on his team despite how much success they've had, how many wins they've had. It's incredible. It's incredible. I don't believe it for a second, Nick. I think you're fine. But
I think they're just fine.
I just enjoy the press conferences.
He's just so... It's the old Costanza line from Seinfeld. It's not a lie if you believe it.
That's right.
So if you are emphatic that this is the reality, that we're not any good, that we're weak, that we're mentally weak because we didn't play all the way to the end for the full 60 on Saturday against Miami, even though... My God, I mean, it could have been set. You watched that game. You were calling your game, but I mean, I had your game on, that game on. What do you need it? What do you want it to be? How many do you want to score against Miami? Do you want to score 86? You could have scored 80. They could have kept going. There was no stopping them. There was no stopping them. It was dominant. Dominant. And he's not having it. He won't have it. He won't tolerate it because there's a standard. And even when they reach the standard, it's not enough. It's probably why in NFL circles, there's always a little trepidation with Bama players because of how he rides them at Alabama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's real. That is real. The Alabama guys are beat up by the time they're done there. He uses them up. That's a real complaint.
Yep.
But that's not his problem.
Even if there's no pressure from the coaching staffs, you know, as far as playing, practicing through stuff, like, just look at their roster. The coaches don't need to pressure them. Like, hey, how's your shoulder? Ah, it's sore, coach. You know, oh, come on. You can do it. Get through it. You know, we need you out there. Yeah. I don't even think they need you to do that. Why? Because if you're a player and your shoulder's sore, all you got to do is look at your own damn linebacker room. Do I want to miss?
Best
do I want to actually take a air quote vet day? Because the kid who replaces me, I might not see the same amount of reps again. Mm-hmm. And that's a built-in, and look, I'm not saying it's a proud way to look at the cult, you know, I mean, like, we've all been there. I've been there. The lack of job security will push you to play through things when you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like me playing with my elbow in St. Louis. I was like, I just know they're going to have Ogletree and Mark Barron. It didn't matter. I played through it, and they still ended up going with Ogletree and Mark Barron. It didn't matter. I shouldn't have played.
I should have
at least been a little healthier.
It's a very NFL mentality
that
he brings. It's an NFL mentality that he has brought to that program at Alabama, and that's the reality of it. We hit 2-a-days in the AFC North. We're doing Bengals. We are doing Steelers. Some pretty wild comments from Ja'Marr Chase that I want to get to. The number one pick, of course. Joe Burrow in year two.
Tennis ball?
He is healthy. Well, dude.
Still about tennis ball catching or no?
You don't say it out. No, it's different. It's more, and you don't say it out. You don't say out loud if it is real. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well-drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And you can join The Fan for the Ozone Tailgate on Lane, the best game day tailgate in town. Catch the pregame show with Matty Ice and Tyvis Powell. Listen to live music. Watch the game. If you're not headed inside, be sure to bring cash for your favorite tailgate refreshments. The Ozone Tailgate on Lane is sponsored by Kohler and Buckeye Power Sales, White Claw, and Jack Daniels. We will see you there on Saturday. 2-a-days hits the homeland, the AFC North. Bengals and Steelers today, Browns and Ravens tomorrow. We'll start in Cincinnati, and I'm just going to read you a headline from Pro Football Talk, and I believe we have Ben Baby on at the bottom of the hour, and we'll ask him about this, but this is a pretty big red flag for me in regard to first-round pick Ja'Marr Chase. And obviously, the Bengals' success or failures this season are not directly tied to Ja'Marr Chase. He's a receiver. They have two other really good receivers.
Right.
They got a great back, and they got a franchise quarterback, and what really matters is Joe Burrow staying upright. But I will say, when you draft a guy this high at this position, you hate to see this. And we follow this, talked about the tennis balls and all of this. Well, he spoke yesterday, and he said the following. The NFL ball is harder to catch than the NCAA ball. It's harder to see without the white stripes, among other things. All right. So the problem I would have with this is I don't believe him for this. It very, very well may be true. What I don't believe is that all of a sudden in camp he's just now started catching an NFL ball. He's probably been catching an NFL ball since last year when he opted out at LSU.
He should have been.
So I don't. Of course, you know he has. You know he has. I remember.
Yeah, I would assume he was. Yes.
I remember watching Ryan Leaf play at Washington State years ago. He warmed up with an NFL ball.
Yeah.
Like the notion that all of a sudden Ja'Marr Chase in July, first time he sees an NFL ball.
Yeah.
No. If he opted out, every bit of training he did was with an NFL ball.
Sounds like
every
an excuse
ball off of
to
a jugs was an NFL ball. The notion that it would be a college ball, no one would do that. No trainer would do that. No agency would do that.
Right.
It would all be an NFL ball. We all know the NFL ball is a little bigger. We know it doesn't have stripes. We know these things. And he would have been prepared accordingly last August. I don't like it, Threes.
No. No. Because now we're in the excuse phase. Mm-hmm.
We laid out the phases, kids.
You did. You did a very nice job of it. I just don't. You're right. He's probably been catching an NFL ball since he was in high school.
Of course.
You know, like, this is nothing.
Of course he has.
This is nothing new. And you're absolutely right. Once he opted out, that's the only training he should have done. So then now you're wondering, what training did you do, sir, when you opted out?
Of course. He's looking for something to say, this is why this is happening, other than acknowledging, and you don't want him to acknowledge because this is how bad it's gotten, acknowledging that what's the real problem here is mentally he's got a block catching a football. And it's got nothing to do with stripes or no stripes. I would bet much of your estate that he did not catch, from the time he opted out and probably before that, he did not catch a ball out of a jugs machine that was not an NFL ball.
Right. And he shouldn't have. I mean, that's...
No!
It makes complete sense. Yeah. So my question then is, what? I don't remember. It was so long ago. What did he do at Pro Day?
I'm sure it was... I don't remember that either.
Did he even work out? Did he do a full... So I'm wondering, you know, with no combine, normal combine, would this have been something that the Bengals could have foreseen if you have a normal combine drills?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If you're going through all those receiver drills and the NFL ball really is different and it's beating you up, I mean, that would have affected his draft status. So I'm just wondering, did he have a normal workout, you know, or did he just run and do the testing?
I can't imagine that they didn't see him catch a ball before they drafted him.
Right. I can't imagine either.
I think this is a new development.
More surprising things.
Yeah. My hunch is this is a new develop that happened in camp. Now, again, their success or failure is not directly tied to Ja'Marr Chase.
No,
long term, he's got to get this right. Their success or failure this season, for me, isn't even really tied to record. Maybe, for Zach it is.
Yep.
For Zach Taylor it might be. But in terms of the way I view them now, it's not. I want Joe Burrow upright.
Yep. That's it. That's all you need. That's all you need. You need to see Joe upright. You need a Joe gain confidence throughout the season. However, it's tough because you would absolutely love to see him have Ja'Marr Chase and have a full arsenal to work with. But if this is a case of the yips, which is what it seems like it is, because even if it was something that like surprised him, let's just take him at his word, right? And say that he did just show up one day and was like, oh man, this NFL ball is different. Mm-hmm. The amount of reps I'd be putting into, which by the way, I didn't have a problem intercepting balls, NFL ball versus, you know, like, and look, trust me, I do not have the greatest hands at all, but.
They're similar enough.
They're similar enough.
Unless you're a small-handed quarterback and you have to make the adjustment. But almost anybody else, they're similar enough.
But even if
you would have done it.
You would have practiced so much on the jugs machine to get through it that it wouldn't even be it wouldn't even be an issue. Like you would have figured it out by now.
What I think has to get figured out is a healthy Burrow. Look, Chase or no Chase, they're dangerous.
Yeah.
They're going to scare people. If they can protect, they can scare people. With Mixon and everything we're hearing on Mixon is he had a great camp. Yeah. The two receivers that they have, T. Higgins is a dude, man.
Yeah.
He's ready to go. That was a theft last year getting him in the second round. Taylor Boyd's a dude. Like, they got players, man.
Yeah.
They don't – you want Chase to be great, of course, but what they have the makings of is a really nice offense. Now, you're questioning their offensive line.
Yeah.
And will they ever be able to protect? We'll see. We'll see on that front, and we'll ask Ben how it looked in camp. But this is really about Burrow, and it's about a lot. I think the one that I want to hear from Joe on Chops is the one about the consistent plan, because I think that is really the key to their season, is that there is a plan, that they follow it, and that Burrow gets through it healthy. Here's Joe Burrow.
Yeah, you know, I've changed a few things. I'm lifting a little bit more during the season, just trying to maintain my strength and my body in that way. So, you know, there's a few things like that you know, you just, as you get older, you develop more of a routine that you go through on game weeks. So, you know, Monday, do whatever you do on every Monday. You know, the most important thing is you don't switch it up. You don't, you know, one Monday you lift and then the next Monday you don't. You just got to be consistent throughout the year.
They were 4-11-1 a year ago. They scared a lot of people. Burrow looked like a franchise quarterback that they drafted him to be. What record, what do you need to see from them this year before we hit the categories?
Well, from the Bengals, I want to see them. I don't expect for them to make this massive jump in the wins, losses, all that stuff. I want to see them, though, win some of those close games that they lost a year ago. I want to see them learn to develop some winning habits in tight ball games. It doesn't have to be every single time. But you get a couple of those the really tight ball games. Like even last year, think back to the Browns game, right? Tight ball games. Find a way to close those out. And obviously, Joe is the only thing that matters at big picture-wise for the team. But can you get them to make small little improvements? And you see at the end of the year, you're looking back and you say, you know what? Joe's got his swag back. He's confident he made it through a full NFL season. There's no hesitancy with him. And they figured out how to win some tight games. You know what? I think this team really is ready to make that next step, that jump. That's what I need to see from them. And it's going to be hard to really, because I'm sure you'll still have frustration because you'll lose some tight ones. But can you figure out a way to really win some of those that a year ago kind of left you frustrated?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a lot of it. Let's hit the categories on the Cincinnati Bengals. Start with your franchise grade, sir.
Oh, man. I put C minus. Maybe, and I think I'm being kind. It's a place that doesn't pay some of its guys that have come through. It's a place that doesn't even have an indoor. I mean,
yeah,
I should give it a D just for that. I should.
I think it's better. It's probably a D plus, C minus. It's better now. I think Katie Blackburn, you know, has helped. Mike Brown's daughter has helped. I think that they're trying. They spend in free. They're trying
they
to do
a little
better.
They won't be taken seriously in the National Football League without an indoor.
No, and it's a joke.
Amongst players.
The irony that Massillon High School, where they play at Paul Brown Stadium.
Yes.
Right? I mean, Paul Brown coached there, for crying out loud, that they have an indoor.
Yep.
And the Bengals do not.
Yep.
That ain't right.
That's not
right. Perfect uniform.
You know what? I actually like the current rendition of them. As I was looking through their uniforms through the years, I like how subtle they made the Bengal stripes on the shoulders. Because there's been some through the years where I've been like, ugh. I didn't remember how much I didn't like them when they were like the TJ Houshmandzadeh
the weird
uniforms.
Stripe.
I did not like that. So I kind of like what they've done with them.
Sure.
The helmet is so unique. It's incredible. I think they were doing the right things with the newest renditions.
Yeah, I think probably I like the leaping Bengal from the Boomer Esiason and Icky Woods years. I think that's pretty cool. But I think that they got away from what they were wearing, and that's a win. I don't think you need to put Bengals on the front of an NFL jersey. I think we know who they are. We can see the helmet.
Right.
But other than that, they did a pretty good job on what they currently wear. Coolest all-time player?
It might be generational. I put Chad Johnson.
I think that's fair.
Because when he was doing all of his touchdown celebrations and stuff, growing up, that was something that, like, I wasn't getting all, you know, excited to watch any Bengals highlights, but you always knew Chad Johnson was going to do something just outrageous. And also was a really good football player. So I think it is Chad Johnson. I'll never forget when he put on the gold jacket. That was one of those, like, my goodness. But that was also during a time where it seemed like between him and T.O. and all these guys, like, they were trying to out-create themselves on touchdown celebrations. Steve Smith in there as well. But, yeah, it's Chad Johnson for me.
I agree. I think he's the most fun. I think he's so fun.
Yep.
Icky Woods was great. I mean, Munoz is probably the starting left tackle on the all-time NFL team, so they've got some cool people. But yeah, I mean, I think Chad Johnson is the. I mean, Chad, he changes, put Ocho Cinco on the back of a jersey. What do you want? I mean, how much fun is that? Play their grade.
I put D.
Yeah,
D.
It's bad
because of the no indoor. And you get to those days where it's practicing or it's raining and it's getting a little sleet and cold and all of that. No.
Yeah.
You got to have an indoor. So no matter what, because you don't have one, you're going to be a D.
And
no matter
how
many
other stories that we've heard from guys who have been there, you've heard, I've heard, in terms of even just the way they handle if you're a free agent on a tryout.
Yeah.
Bring your own sweats. I mean, it's just nonsense. Right. Now, hopefully they're getting away for that with Katie Blackburn. I hope they are. They should be. There's no excuse for it. Quarterback grade.
QB grade. I'm going to go a B. I would have put it, it just depends on, and that's only because of his health. That's just wondering where is Joe at mentally with that knee, that could easily boost up to an A if he proves throughout the season that he's healthy and fully there mentally back from that knee surgery.
Agreed. B plus. I loved him last year. It's just stay upright.
Absolutely.
That's why that's all I care about. Stay upright. It's really all that matters for them.
Yep.
Contender grade.
I put C. This is one of the rare ones where the contender grade will fall below the quarterback. I just think they have some other issues as well. And even if Joe takes a little while early on to get back in the groove, which I totally think he will, I just don't expect that to be week one. He comes out, 390 through the air, No, I just think it'll take a little bit. And I think there's other holes on the roster, but I put C.
I go D plus here, and I think they're better than some of the teams that we've given C's, and I think they're going to scare people.
Yeah.
They just play in a brutal division.
Yeah.
It's the second best division in football. They're in it. They've got holes. There's a couple of teams in the division that don't have any holes. It's hard for me to imagine them jumping Pittsburgh, for example.
Right.
And I think Pittsburgh's the third best team in the division. So if that's the case, and I think you get three playoff teams in the division, not four, they can't. I'd be shocked if they made the playoffs. But I do think they're going to scare people. And I think they're going to be really, really interesting this year. And I think they could win the opener against Minnesota on Sunday. I think that's in play, too. We hit the Steelers up next. Bishman Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart. I'm drunk right now. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Two guys who love to see it. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
My friends, this is important. Mortgage rates have plummeted. They are at the lows of the year. Your home value, on the other hand, at the highs of the year. And you can take advantage of this unique situation with my friends at Neighborhood Lender. You can refinance right now with Neighborhood Lender. You're going to pay zero closing costs. You may even get to skip your next one or two house payments altogether. They do this at Neighborhood Lender. They make refinancing simple, all digital, super fast platform. There's no paperwork, no junk fees, no big bank hassle. You can refinance right now. You can snag the rate of your lifetime and lower your house payment altogether with no closing costs. You can refinance and get cash out. A lot of people don't realize this. You can get that cash out of your home's equity. They're getting tens of thousands of dollars out, putting it to pay off debt. Back into your house in a remodeling project. But you need to act now to get a better loan. Get cash out, lower your payment, pay zero in closing costs, and skip your next house payment altogether. Call Neighborhood Lender today, 614-882-LOAN. That's 614-882-LOAN, neighborhoodlender.com, 614-882-LOAN, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 69349. Not all loans apply for no closing cost option, subject to lender approval. Have the Steelers become underrated?
I think we're all prisoners to what happened lately, right? And I think people have forgot just how good they started last season.
11-0.
Yeah, there's talent on that team. And I think that, they're not going to end this Roethlisberger era without going down without a huge fight. Like, you're going to have to play really good to beat them. And I think the way that they looked in the playoff game has given rise to a bunch of opinions that, they're not that good anymore. They're not the same. So I don't know. They're tough to judge because they still got the logo, and
sure
they still
do.
Have the reputation.
Tomlin's never had a losing year.
That's incredible.
They don't fall off a cliff, man.
No, they don't.
Like, they've got a couple years, even with Cowher, where it was 7-9, in that vicinity. They don't have a 3-13.
Yep.
Not in your lifetime.
No.
They don't have it.
That's incredible.
They don't have it. Doesn't exist. All they do is win. They're different now than I think they were a decade ago in the way they go about their business. They're having some trouble with this TJ Watt situation right now.
Sure are.
Yeah. That's not ideal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But when you think about, I think about what they are right now. They went 12-4 last year. I think that they are the third best team in the AFC North. But I think they're a playoff team. I do.
Yeah.
And I think Najee Harris is going to go bonkers there. And I think they're going to ride him like Seabiscuit. I think he's going to run it, catch it. I think he's going to be a top 5 or 6 fantasy guy. I think he's being underdrafted in the fantasy stuff. I think Pat Freiermuth's a nice pick at tight end.
Same. I think he gives Ben a familiar sense
of that
big tight end that can make the big catches in the red zone.
Yeah. I think Melvin Ingram playing there will do quite well.
Yeah.
I think that helps a lot. Look, their offensive line is going to be a bit of a problem. Their secondary is aging, but their front seven defensively is going to be legit. Minkah Fitzpatrick's an all-pro. They're squad. They get big-time players at receiver. Like, they've got a lot of things. And I think this it's kind of gone too far to where all of a sudden people think they're going 6-11. They're not.
No.
They're not going 6-11. No. I think it's a playoff team. I do. All right, let's hit the categories on the Steelers. Franchise grade.
I got A. It's an A.
Sure is.
One of the model franchises in the National Football League.
Yep. They're. It's absolutely an A. It's a little different now than it was a decade ago, but the league's a little different. Where they go from Roethlisberger, but they've never bottomed out, and they've always been good, and the history is impeccable. The fan base is great. Perfect uniform combination.
I'll choose their home uniform.
Which one? It's flawless.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. I love that all the Pittsburgh pro teams wear black and gold.
Yep.
The whole city. It's awesome.
Yep.
No, it's an A+, and it's the home one is perfect. It's absolutely great. And they've worn it pretty much unchanged for 50 years.
Yep.
You know, so they've changed the number script a little bit, but that's it. Yeah, it's awesome. Play there great.
You're just skipping the coolest player.
Oh, I'm sorry. Coolest all time. My fault. Coolest all time.
Troy Polamalu. Mm-hmm. You cannot be cooler than the long flow diving over the offensive line on goal line plays.
Yeah.
Like just sailing through the air, his ability with picks. And that dude was incredible. And when you have that flow like that, man, that's pure swag. So for me, it was Troy Polamalu.
When you hear the first notes of Renegade and the first image is him.
Yep.
I mean, get out the front door.
Yep.
I mean, that sets it off.
Yep.
They got so many. I'll give you one that doesn't get talked about much is Rod Woodson. He gets overshadowed a little bit by Deion Sanders.
Yep.
But he is an all-time dude. And because Prime was such a cult of personality, sometimes I think Woodson isn't remembered in the way that Prime is.
You're absolutely right.
Or that Ed Reed. But he's of that ilk.
Yep.
He is absolutely of that ilk. You go back to the Steel Curtain, you got Mean Joe, you got Lambert, you got everybody you want. But, I mean, they've had a lot. They've had a lot of coolest players. Play their grade.
Today. I mean, think about the way the city will love you. Think about what you can do in the Steel City afterwards. Think about how well ownership will take care of you, the way they take care of their former guys, the brotherhood that is being a former Steeler.
Yeah.
It's an A.
Sure is. Climate would be the only thing that keeps it out of being
an A+,
but it's an A.
Yeah.
It's a great city. They love their fan. They love their team.
Yep.
It matters to be a Steeler.
Yep.
It matters. It's mattered for 50 years to be a Steeler. You can't beat that. You can't beat it. Quarterback grade.
QB grade. I got Ben at a C+. A C+. I think.
I remember you
early on the season he'll be a B.
2 years ago.
And I think that elbow just wears down again.
You hit this a couple of years ago when we were doing this, and you said you were doing one of their games, and you said, "Watch when it gets cold, how that tightens up."
Yeah,
and that's what happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it used to be an A. It's a C+, B-. It's somewhere in there.
Yep.
Contender grade for the Steelers.
I actually have them as a B-. I think they'll make the playoffs, but as far as actually a contender, like, I don't see them beating the Chiefs, you know? So they can be a team that fills in the bracket, but I don't see them actually threatening when it comes to the Super Bowl.
I'll go a little higher. I'll go B+. Could I see him in the AFC Championship game? Yep. Absolutely. If Najee is what I think he's going to be and they can rely on him, I could see him giving a bounce the way that Terrell Davis gave John Elway a bounce. Now, I don't think their team's as good as that Broncos team was. They're not as good up front, certainly. But I could see him getting a bounce out of it. And I could see him playing an AFC champion. It's hard for me to imagine them winning it, but I can absolutely see him being a playoff team. I can see him just missing the playoffs. But I think their ceiling is still relatively high. And I think they're being written off a little bit too soon. Ben Baby on the Bengals. We'll ask you about this crazy Jamar Chase story, among other things, coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
This is Ohio State football coach Ryan Day on your home for Buckeye football, The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Open early for all your sports discussion needs. Now back to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time to head on to the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and talk to our good buddy Ben Baby. When we talk Bengals, we like to talk to Ben because he is the best. He covers the Bengals for ESPN, and now he's a Big 12 country again. Cincinnati going to the Big 12, so that works out well. A lot of familiarity there, but let's talk about the team that you get paid to cover, my friend, your Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase, the comments yesterday about the ball and the stripe and not being able to see it, pretty big red flag for me. What have you seen from him? We know what we've seen in games. What have you seen from him in camp?
It is funny. So my phone, I just got done with a run, so perfect timing here. And I got done just like 5-10 minutes ago, and my phone has blown up with all these comments from Chase about the ball. And the funny thing is he said these on Monday, and we all, like, looked around. Nobody really batted an eye from it. Like, you know, we all heard it, and I just chalked it up as a random excuse that guys make. And I was just like, oh, okay, maybe there is something to it. And it's funny, I'm in a group text right now with one of my, and we with a couple guys who happen to play in the NFL. And one of them said, you know, it actually is somewhat of a thing. You know, I thought it was kind of silly. And he goes, no, it's a real deal. But that all of that being said, for me, like the red flag or the issues with Ja'Marr, kind of his comments that you know about the ball, it's that, you know, he just has consistently had drop issues since the beginning, since basically the first time we saw him from like rookie mini camp on, and in OTAs and then in training camp and preseason games, he struggled really catching the ball. And for me, you know, it wasn't the, you know, when you listen to the totality of his comments that he made Monday, and Monday was the first time he had talked in several weeks. The Bengals did not make him available for a while, and Monday was the first time he had spoken after he had been requested for several weeks. You know, we said, you know, for me, the biggest thing that he said was, you know, I just wasn't focusing and the concentration wasn't there. And so mentally, so that signals that it's a mental issue more than anything. So as much as the headlines about, you know, the ball and the markings all kind of, you know, I hear all that and I get kind of, because it is kind of strange to hear someone talk about that. For me, the biggest issue with Ja'Marr is kind of where's his head at mentally? Is he ready to go week one? And he says he is. He has a ton of confidence, and he said he wants to put Patrick Peterson on his highlight reel. But I think that first half, and specifically that first quarter, is going to be really big for Ja'Marr, not only for this game, but potentially for these next few weeks. You know, I think that it's up to the Bengals coaching staff to put Ja'Marr in good positions, help him build some confidence and get a sense of rhythm to not only, you know, be productive in week one against the Vikings, but kind of build some momentum moving forward for these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Ben, that's where I was going to go, is what's your sense on how much he will be in the game plan when it comes to Sunday against the Vikings? I mean, there's been this reoccurring issue, right? And we've seen it in games, but as you said, it's happened throughout camp. There's been the actual almost admitting that there's an issue. There's been the talk about catching the tennis balls, and now that there's no white stripes on the pro ball. All this stuff being acknowledged and talked about, it's definitely a mental thing. I'm just wondering, and maybe it's impossible to know, how much the team still has that confidence in him. And then how long does it take? Is it just Sunday? If he continues to struggle on Sunday, does he start to see his targets and his involvement in the game plan? Because sooner or later, it's about production. Like, if you can't catch the rock, is it week one? Is it week two? I mean, how long will this leash be for him to where you have to finally say, look, you got to figure it out. But until we see it consistently in practice, we can't count on you.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think they're going to give him a very long leash. You got to understand that. It also would be if they did. If you know, if they were hesitant and they said, you know, we need you to produce. Well, you know, this is your fifth overall pick. You're basically admitting your fifth overall pick isn't ready to come in and produce right away. And let's be honest. I think all of us know the game pretty well. Receiver should be the one position you're able to come in and be pretty productive off the jump. And you know, whether that's a, you know, going from high school to college or college to the NFL, you know, theoretically, you know, that is one of the positions where, you know, I think a lot of people believe it's easier to make a transition. Now, that you know, the thing in here with Ja'Marr is that he's having to think a little bit more there. You know, he's learning a new offense. You know, that the coverage is significantly better than it was, you know, in college, and he's having to adapt to all of these things. And talking to people, you know, on the coaching staff inside the building, right now there isn't a big sense of alarm about what Ja'Marr does. I think someone pointed out to me that, you know, that what T. Higgins did last year, you know, early on in the season, he had a couple of bad drops, in games, and a couple that, you know, honestly cost the Bengals, you know, potentially a win or two. And as the season progressed, he kind of got in the feel of things. He found his rhythm. And by the end of the season, he was making catches that he wasn't at the beginning. And I think that there's the same belief that as Jamar gets rolling, eventually those catches are going to come. And, you know, they like, you know, the confidence. And they've asked Joe Burrow, hey, is this an issue? And you know, did you see any of this, you know, at LSU? And by and large, nobody, you know, when you look at the metrics, this isn't something that's been a consistent problem for Jamar. So I think the belief is that it's just a momentary, you know, struggle, and eventually he'll figure it out. But eventually, like you said, he's going to have to produce, because, you know, the fact of the matter is the Bengals are counting on Jamar Chase to be a playmaker from the get-go. So there isn't going to be, you know, while they are going to be patient with him, I think they are still going to be expecting production sooner rather than later.
And the crazy thing, Ben, about them is he's, while it's the headline today, it is not the headline for the season. The headline for the season, from our vantage point, is Joe Burrow stays healthy. That's it. Like, that's all. If I'm Bengals fan, that's all I want. Joe Burrow plays a whole year. He stays healthy because they got big-time weapons. I mean, you were famous for the Mixon watch a year ago. Sounds like he's had a great camp. They have T. Higgins. They have Boyd. They're going to be dangerous offensively, regardless, certainly Chase being expected to be a part of that. But even if he weren't there, isn't what he was at LSU, they still got a ton of weapons, and they got Burrow back healthy. Him staying healthy this year and the position that they're putting him in, where do you sit with that?
I think that first series, that first couple series, is really going to tell us a lot about where this offensive line is at, because, quite honest, you know, they didn't really make a ton of tangible upgrades from the previous year when the unit was not very good. I think they've said that, you know, right now that they're too big. There are two big improvements in getting, you know, assistant coach Frank Pollock rehired and then signing Riley Reiff, who was at Minnesota, to play right tackle. Those right now are the two biggest upgrades. Second round pick Jackson Carman isn't ready to start week one, which is actually a little bit of a surprise, because at the end of OTAs, this was a guy who was, you know, slotted as a projected right guard and then just kind of fell down the depth chart during training camp, which to me is actually a much bigger concern than Jamar Chase right now, because mentally I think Jamar will figure it out at some point. He's got the confidence to do so. But when you look at Jackson Carman and the reasons why he kind of dropped down, and you know, maybe there's something he didn't show during training camp, you know, there's a lot of questions about, you know, him needing to be in good physical shape. To me, that's a much larger concern. So, you know, I think that we need to see how this offensive line looks, how they mesh, what the guards look like specifically. I think that's going to be the important thing. And then Riley Reiff, you know, is he really that upgrade that they thought he would be? But those are all questions that must be answered in week one.
Ben, how many wins do the Bengals need to get in order for you to be satisfied with the continued growth of this organization?
You know, I'd say for me, I don't know if my number one line is, I don't care if the team goes winless or wins a Super Bowl, I get paid the same amount of money. Right. So for me, zero wins to 17 or whatever it's going to be this year, I will be completely satisfied. The big question is going to be, what's going to satisfy the front office at the end of the year? Because I think this is, as we've talked about all offseason with y'all, this is a make or break year for, I think, head coach Zach Taylor. And, you know, I was talking to, you know, Elizabeth Blackburn, who's, you know, the daughter of Katie and Troy Blackburn, who are the VPs of the franchise and the granddaughter of Mike Brown. And, you know, she has made it very clear and probably vocalized it better than anybody in the front office this offseason, and saying that, you know, there is an expectation, there is a sense of urgency for the franchise to do well, not just with wins and losses, but I think that when you look at how apathetic this fan base has been and the amount of empty seats over the last few years, I don't know if the Bengals can afford a trend, especially as they're approaching the end of their lease. You know, the current terms, obviously there are some stipulations there that can keep the team here longer. But in terms of what they're going to need to do when they go to the negotiating table, I think there was an extreme sense of urgency for this, for the team to show that, hey, this is an asset to the community. This is something that is important, especially if they're going to go after taxpayer dollars. Again, you've got to see taxpayers in the seats. Otherwise, for me, that's the biggest concern. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure on Zach Taylor to show a good amount of improvement. For me, I think that is shown if they're competitive and if they are in the mix for a playoff berth in December. Right now, I've got them at 7-10 going into this season. So, and I don't know if that's enough. I think that they're going to have to surprise some people and win some games that we probably don't think they're going to win at this point. for us to really say, okay, this is a team that's showing good upward progress. But, you know, like you said, they've got a lot of resources on offense. They've invested a lot of money defensively. Now is the time to show and say, okay, where is this rebuild at, and where do they need to go moving forward?
Ben, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate your time. Love chatting with you.
Hey, thanks, y'all. Always a pleasure.
All right, that's the great Ben Baby. Covers the Bengals for ESPN. I hadn't heard that about, I guess we don't, you know, about the stadium and lease and,
yeah,
you know, it's always there, though. It's always there.
Yep. And
so, all right, we will do the Browns and the Ravens coming up tomorrow. We hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Hi.
Meet or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, oh, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And brought to you by our great friends at Window Nation. If you're in need of search and replacement windows, check them out at windownation.com. They'll take care of you the way that they take care of us at 866-90-NATION today. Time for a little Thing or Not a Thing. Hit it, chopper.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
This from the Dispatch's Joey Kaufman. The 10.31 yards per play Ohio State averaged in last week's season opening win at Minnesota were the most in a game in school history. Thing or not a thing?
Definitely a thing. I was doing, I did a little guest radio down in the South yesterday, and they painted it from the perspective of, well, that's not sustainable. And it's probably not. You know, you're not going to average 10 right. yards a play. But I do think the big play ability is sustainable because of those receivers and because of Travion Henderson. So while that's not something you're going to see every game, you will see a lot of it.
Yeah, I just think that it is, look, you don't got to worry about, hey, we got to be better on third down. Well, not if you get 10 yards of play. You only got to be good on first down. I think it is a, obviously skewed by the massive plays, but I think also, it just, anytime you do anything for the first time in our school's long and lovely history, I think that definitely is a thing. It's impressive. And they were explosive and they were consistent, but I wouldn't expect to see that every single week.
Also skewed by lack of plays, Minnesota only had 40 tackles in the game.
Yeah.
Every NFL team is projected to get $400 million in 2023 before selling one ticket, beer, hot dog, thanks to massive media / sponsorship deals via Sportico. Thing or not a thing?
Biggest thing there is.
That's why these franchises don't go for sale very often.
Right. There's no other business in the world that does this. I just understand this. The Haslams, Jimmy Haslam's dad, founded Flying J. They become Pilot Flying J. It's a top five private owned company in North America.
Yeah,
it's a monster. They have essentially a monopoly in that business, right? Them and Love's, there's a couple, right?
Yep.
They sold out of that, okay, which you just print money. They sold out of that to Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, eventually completely out of it, to be in the NFL business because it's better. It's better.
Yeah.
That's how good the NFL is.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And that's why it's the best league in all of pro sports. And the numbers just keep going higher and higher. And the impressive thing, it's the relentless pursuit to how can we do more. That's all they're thinking. It's all Goodell thinks of how can we continue to monetize and do more.
Bishop Sycamore's new head coach explained their situation to NBC4, quote, "We do not offer curriculum. We are not a school. That's not what Bishop Sycamore is. And I think that's what the biggest misconception about us was. And that was our fault because that was a mistake on paperwork." He later added that they are a post-grad football academy.
Oh.
Thing or not a thing?
So is Paul Crewe the quarterback? Like, do they play? Is this the longest yard? It's not school related at all.
Bishop Sycamore Academy.
The biggest misconception
is we're not actually not school. Hold on,
football academy. Why are you playing Massillon High School?
Yeah, you're playing high schools. You're playing high school.
What are we doing? What are we doing? You're a for profit, your own profit, I mean, it's unbelievable.
I can't believe this exists. I can't believe that this got up and going. Absurd. I can't believe that this is even a thing. I can't believe this is even allowed. So, like, you could just go form a random group and just say, hey, we're a high school team?
19, 20-year-olds. Who don't, who
isn't there, like, college? I swear I thought high school sports, there was some kind
of... age requirement?
Like, grade requirement, you know?
Sure.
Like, you
an
actually
academic
have to be in
component,
school.
Perhaps.
Yeah, like an educational opponent. Yeah. God. Yeah, exactly. Incredible.
I guess those national showcase games just aren't sanctioned by anybody. The 49ers released their week one depth chart, and they've listed quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo as the starter for the regular season, first game of the regular season. Rookie Trey Lance, who will have a package of plays, is the backup. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's a thing for sure. They play Detroit this week, so it's not that big of a thing for this game, but it will be going forward because Kyle is going to keep people on their toes. They're two very different quarterbacks with different skill sets. And so now he's got Lance that he can, you know, play around with in the weekly game plan.
Yeah, and it's an inferior opponent that you can get a W with week one. You can sprinkle in some of those plays, make D coordinators pull their hair out, you know, trying to prepare for two different style quarterbacks. The big test will be, hey, it's a very equal talent, you know, matchup. How much, you know, how much attention then does Trey Lance get? How many reps does Trey Lance get in those situations? It's always easier to sprinkle in these packages when you have a good sense going in you're going to win the football game. But when everything kind of equates, then how much do they use Trey Lance?
Last one on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, Terrell Owens was asked who he would like to go up against in a boxing match. Owens adamantly said Donovan McNabb, quote, I'd knock the chunky soup from him. Thing or not a thing?
I covered that Super Bowl when he played with a broken leg, and I was there on the field. How effective he was stunning. It's almost sad that everything around him, like he was inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like it all of the stuff around took away because he was great. Yeah. Great. And he always had a problem with Donovan McNabb. I have no idea. Who knows what it was, but he always did.
T.O., man. Just one of the most interesting superstars, right? And I have no interest. I'm going to say nothing because I have no interest in seeing old dudes fight. It just doesn't, you know, like all these boxing matches, like you got Tyson going to fight. That doesn't do it for me.
No, me either. All right, first edition of Beat the House. Get your Sharpies out, kids. Time to get rich. We do it coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The first thing you hear every morning should be Bobby Carpenter yelling at you. Bird chirping is overrated. Morning Juice.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan. Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Enjoy the Fan for the Ozone Tailgate on Lane for the best game day tailgate in town. Catch the pregame show, Matty Ice, Tyvus Powell. Listen to live music, watch the game. If you're not headed inside, be sure to bring cash for your favorite tailgate refreshments. The Ozone Tailgate on Lane is sponsored by TNT Equipment, Capital City Concrete, Pepsi Zero, and Corona. See ya on Saturday. Bucks and Oregon as we get closer to that. And all eyes on Kayvon Thibodeau and what his participation will be, and what that matchup is all about. It's going to be a beautiful uniform matchup. I have not heard anything on our end if we're wearing gray sleeves or not. Every once in a while, we'll break them out for a big non-conference game. But usually, in recent years, they've been reserving them for the playoffs. So my guess is we'll be in the non-gray on the sleeve. That's my guess.
It's all right. As long as we don't do anything ridiculous, I'll be fine with it.
Right. Just don't wear black. Don't wear gray. Make sure you have scarlet.
It's my envy. It's my one envy of Alabama. You know, just, no, yeah. I don't think we will change.
Silver hat, red top, gray pants.
Yep.
That's it. That's
quite simple.
It's not hard. Let's do that. All right. Look, we are absurdly good at this. Or at least I am. I think you are too at this. We've crushed this. We've been doing this for 4 years. This is our fourth year beating the house.
I think I had a good year last year.
I think you did too. I think you beat me last year. But both of us were way over 500, and I don't know that we've ever been even close to 500 picking NFL games. I think we've every year we do this against the number, we have won pretty big on it.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we're probably due for a stinker.
Yeah, we are.
You're due.
Tonight's game is a little tough. It's a tough
There's
one.
A lot of tough ones here. And I think the other thing is you got to remember when it comes to the gambling, you got to remember this, kids. They didn't build all that in the desert by you winning.
That's right.
They're going to win eventually.
That's right.
Right? They will win eventually. And so with that in mind, let's beat the house, Chops.
Beat the house. Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, you guys are 500 for the season right now. Bo, 0-0. James, 0-0. First up, Buccaneers -8.5 playing host to the Cowboys.
Fun one. It's a fun one tonight. So here's, in my mind's eye at least, and I do no research for these. We just gut pick them. In my mind's eye, defending Super Bowl champion at home to open the season, lots of juice. And oftentimes they look great.
Yeah.
And I think Tampa Bay will look great tonight. I think they will. I think Dallas is certainly going to score some points. I think Tampa Bay is going to score more and more than 8.5. I got the Bucs 37. Well, we don't have to do scores. I got the Bucs to cover the 8.5. Give me Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's tough, right? I mean, what I'm struggling with is what Tampa Bay are we getting? Is this the Tampa of the playoffs? You know, like the last time you saw them, you saw a D-line dominate Pat Mahomes, right? But they really weren't that impressive all season.
No.
So you get a full off season. Does that automatically mean Tom Brady's just going to absolutely light it up? Give me the Buccaneers. Buccaneers cover. I don't love it, though. I don't.
Moving on to Sunday, you've got the Eagles at the Falcons, Atlanta -3.
Atlanta -3 at home. Philly. Jalen Hurts. What's that coach's name, Nick Siciliano?
I don't know
what his coach's name is.
Yeah, that's him.
Anyway, Falcons. Dirty Birds. They don't got to win by a lot, but only 3. Falcons cover.
Yeah, I think the Falcons. I think Pitts is going to put up big numbers for them.
Same.
I think Davis at running back is going to be big. I don't know that Atlanta is sustainable, but they're better than Philly, who I think is maybe the worst team in the NFC. Give me Atlanta to cover as well.
Bills -6.5 hosting the Steelers.
So I like Buffalo a lot, and I do think they win this game. But I think Pittsburgh is frothing at the mouth and will play well. And I think Najee Harris is going to be a monster. I think this is a great game. I love this game. I think Buffalo wins it, but close. And I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh wins it. I don't need him to win them. I just need him to cover the 6.5. Give me the Steelers to cover it.
I would take the 6.5 if this game was played in November. Since this game is week 1, and you're going to try to tell Mike Tomlin-led Steelers team that they're 6.5 dogs with a fully healthy team rolling in, I think they take it as disrespect. I still think the Bills win. I'm with you. But I think it's a close one by a field goal, possibly. Pittsburgh will cover the spread.
Road favorite, Vikings -3 at the Bengals.
I just don't see it. I don't see it. I when I've watched the Vikings, what is it about that team that gives you a ton of confidence? It's just been a really weird vibes with that team overall. Give me the Bengals. Give me the Bengals. Joe Burrow getting a dub. Week 1.
I don't like the vibes out of Minnesota either, man. I don't like them. I think that division's terrible. We'll do our playoff picks in a second. Bengals win the opener. They win it outright. I get points too? Absolutely. Joe Burrow looks good. They spin it around a little bit. Give me the Bengals to win the opener.
Tied for largest spread of the week, and it is on the road. 49ers -7.5 in Detroit.
I don't know if people realize what happened in Detroit from a roster standpoint.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for Jared Goff.
Yeah.
San Francisco is healthy up front. They got two quarterbacks. Yep. San Francisco's defense is going to eat Jared Goff alive.
Yep.
This is not going to be a particularly pretty game, but they win 24-10. So give me San Francisco to cover.
Absolutely. San Fran's defense is finally healthy.
Yeah.
They got belief. They got that ground game going. Jimmy Garoppolo, you're going to sprinkle in some Trey Lance stuff. Poor Lions. Just, yeah, give me the 49ers. Give me the Santa Clara 49ers.
That's right.
Cardinals at the Titans, Tennessee minus three.
I think this would be a good football game. I just, you know, in games like these where I think they're two very talented football teams, I'm going to go with the home team. I think Tennessee wins. Not huge, but they will cover.
Sneaky great game.
Yep.
Sneaky great game. And I could see it being right on the number. Tennessee 27-24, 31-28, something like that. Both teams score. This is a fun game. I'm with you, though. I'll take the home team and I'll throw the three.
Up next, we've got the Seahawks minus 2.5 at the Colts.
This is a tricky one. It's been a weird...
I got to look this up.
I think it's one. It's a weird, weird preseason for Indy with Wentz. Yeah. Is he here? Is he not here? They've had some injuries. And I think they're a really good team. And I'm pretty sure... Yeah, I have them as a playoff team when we get to that. I just have a feeling Seattle comes out guns a-blazing a little bit. I think they're a little sluggish, maybe early in the game, but Seattle pulls away, and I think they cover the 2.5. They can win by a field goal at Indy. They're a better team.
Seattle stinks at noon, at the early window, noon central.
You'd know that. But, you would know that.
They do. That's the only time we could beat them. Colts. I'm taking the Colts to win this one. I think that they have a roster that can play with Seattle, and I think early on they'll be a little sleepy. Colts get a good lead, and I think they hold on.
I believe this one has been a betting flip throughout the week because the football team, now a one-point favorite, hosting the Chargers.
So, if you play this game anywhere else but, you know, out east, I think that the Chargers are a favorite. The hard thing is that the fact that that D-line is so vicious, and you could totally see the Chargers losing this football game, although they are the better team overall. I can't go against Herbert. You can't do your sophomore season losing to the Washington football team. Give me L.A.
I got football team. Fitzmagic early in the year. Think of all the early season success he's had. I know they're a little banged up, can't get Curtis Samuel right, but I think they got enough weapons. McLaurin's great. The D-line eats Herbert up. It's a noon start. I mean, it's a 1 o'clock start. That's a 10 a.m. body clock for the Chargers. Give me the football team to cover the one.
Darnold's chance at revenge. Panthers minus 4 hosting the New York Jets.
I like Matt Rhule. I like what they've done defensively. I don't like rookie quarterbacks on the road to start things. Give me Carolina to cover the 4.
Same. Give me Panthers. Let's go.
Urban Meyer and the Jaguars are 3-point favorites on the road.
That's right.
At Houston.
That's right. Give me Jacksonville. Let's open up Urban's Pint House on Jack's Beach. Let's go. Start the victory parades now. Urbs, you have to beat Houston.
Yeah.
You have to. So he has to. Team.
Yeah, the Houston's not trying. By the way, they're not trying, and they're too deep. They're not even starting a rookie. So they're not even bad at not trying. They just got a bunch of bad players. Jacksonville is going to have a little bit of false hope here, and they're going to be riding high. By the way, we've questioned some of the things Urban's done around the team and some of the collegiate stuff that he's brought to the pro, but the video of the captains with their families saying that they're capped, I thought that was cool. That was cool. And you saw that it affected guys in a certain way. I thought that was pretty cool. I think Jacksonville wins, too. I think it's going to be a really long year for them, but I think playing Houston twice helps, and this is
one of those they'll cover. The best part about being 1-0, you know,
is going to be a long time since he gets this. It's going to be hard to say. The best thing about being 2-10 is a chance to be 3-10. That's going to be tough.
No doubt.
Chiefs are 6-point favorites hosting the Browns.
All right.
Six?
Look, Cleveland can score. They're a lot better defensively. This is an awesome game. I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's very likely Kansas City wins. I don't think Mahomes has lost in September since he started. But Cleveland could win, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to score on Kansas City. You better believe it. And they're going to wreak havoc up front. Give me Cleveland to cover the six.
Yep. I think give me Cleveland to cover six as well. I think Kansas City will win by four, something like that, but there's no. No, I think it's going to be an awesome football game, and I can't wait to watch it.
Dolphins at Patriots, New England minus three.
New England with the Mac attack? Yes. Give me the Pats. I think they get it done against Miami up there in Foxborough. Patriots.
I can see I'm going to be so sick of the Mac Jones stuff.
Oh,
probably
of course.
By week one. But
bad body Mac?
I think he's like my number two choice to win Rookie of the Year behind Najee Harris. I think that he will be great there. I don't know that he's going to be great necessarily for his career, but this year his impact will be immediate. And I like them coming back. I think they will get to playoff picks in a second. They very well could be a playoff team. I got to beat Miami and covering the three as well.
Packers are 4-point favorites at New Orleans in Jacksonville.
Fun game.
Yeah.
Winston playing with that offense. What's it look like? Packers slept on a little bit. I'm surprised it's only four because it's not New Orleans. It's in Jacksonville. And there will be a lot of Packers fans at that game. I think it's probably be a 50-50 split by the time it's played.
Yeah.
Give me Green Bay to cover the four.
Same. I think Green Bay, for one, I just don't. I'm not a big believer in New Orleans this year anyway. I saw the news. They're trying to trade now for Bradley Roby. Does it have to be an OSU corner? Like, they just have to deal for OSU guys all the time.
Yeah.
Bradley Roby due to make $10 million this year. It's not bad. It's not a bad year's work. Yeah, give me Green Bay.
Broncos minus three at the Giants.
Broncos minus three at the New York Football Giants. Is Saquon back? Is he going?
Don't know.
I'm not sure it matters. Gosh, Broncos. Give me the Broncos. I don't like it. I don't like it, but if without even if Saquon is back, his first time back with the wheel, I can't ride with New York. I just can't. Whenever time I think of New York, I think of Gettleman and that giant three-ring binder, and I just can't ride. Can't ride with that.
Well, I think Teddy Two Gloves plays good early, too.
Yeah.
He'll play good early. They got a lot of weapons. I think Jerry Judy's going to be a real problem. I like the backs, the young backs that they have. I like the Broncos, too, to go out there. I don't think they're very good, but I like them to go out. I think Giants are really bad.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton leading the Bears into L.A. Rams minus 7.5.
Just ram it.
Yes.
Ram it, ram it, ram it. Here's my hunch. This is my hunch. McVay is going to say, you want to know why I traded for Stafford? Here's why.
Yep.
I think Stafford could throw for 5,200 yards this year. I think they could. I think he will press. I think it's like a new toy for McVay. And he's going to say, you guys thought I was really smart? Well, this is what I did with Goff. Now I got a real dude.
Yep.
Just you watch. I think the Rams have a big year. They score a ton of points, and they cover the 7.5.
You have a head coach and a quarterback motivated to just torch the league. And I definitely have the Rams just ramming it.
Why all the bone in the uniform? Nine times we're in bone.
I don't.
You got the royal and you got the beautiful.
You have the
white
other beautiful
over yellow
uniforms and you choose
Come on.
Bone.
Bone? We're running out bone nine times?
No idea.
You guys have only disagreed on one, but we still have the Monday night game left. The Ravens minus 4.5 at the Las Vegas Raiders.
Baltimore. I think the Raiders are a disaster.
Same. I think we had two different. He had Indy, I had Seattle, I had Washington, he had the Chargers.
Yeah, pay attention, Chops.
You got to be focused.
I did get those written down correctly. You're right. Okay. I missed it when I was looking through the list.
I think the Raiders are in for just disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, unmitigated disaster.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And, give me Baltimore as well. All right, we'll get you our picks in the NFL as the season kicks off tonight. Who makes the playoffs? Who wins the MVP? Who's your Super Bowl champion? That's coming up next. Tim May on the Buckeyes coming up in 15 minutes. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan. First Fridays are a thing. Drinking bad bourbon is not a thing. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan this Saturday at the Shoe.
That's right.
It's tailgate season. fans gathering around the stadium, the delicious spreads on game day, and at the top of my list is ridiculously good salsa. This salsa is hands down the best you can get, and it's made right here in Columbus by a wonderful family. You can find it at Whole Foods, Weiland's, the Hills Market. I usually get it at the Dublin Farmers Market on Saturdays. You can get it all through September, which is where I get it at Dublin Market. Hey, that name again, ridiculously good salsa. Aptly named because it really is ridiculously good. Flavors are mild. Happy medium. Get it? Medium, which is my favorite. And for the heat lovers out there, they make a high heat. Get it for game day and every occasion. Ridiculously good salsa.
All right. NFL season starts tonight. Buccaneers and Cowboys spent the majority of the show doing NFL football. Do a little Buckeyes with Tim A. coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Let's go through our picks big picture-wise. Let's go in the AFC.
Yep.
Give me your division winners, Threes. Give me your division winners in the AFC.
Okay. I got the Buffalo Bills in the East. I have the Tennessee Titans in the South. The Kansas City Chiefs out in the West. And your Cleveland Browns in the North.
Same. I have those exact same four. Let's see if there are differences. Folks, we don't ever talk about, you and I don't talk about any of this stuff.
No.
It just happens on the air. If it happens organically, then it does. And so we have the same division winners. Let's go with the three wild card teams for you, sir.
Okay, so the three wild card teams would be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
And this was tough, but I'm still going with culture in the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm, okay, very good. It is tough. So the teams you consider, I consider for the last are, I have the Ravens in, I have the Colts in. From the standpoint of, it's the rest of that division in the South. I don't love everything about the Colts.
Yep.
Although I do like their roster, but I don't love the quarterback stuff that much. But it's Jacksonville and Houston
yep.
in the division, right?
Yep.
And so that's part of it. So I'm with you on Colts. So for the last spot, it's between, I think, three teams chasing one.
Yep.
It's Patriots, it's Steelers for me, and it's the Chargers. I'm going Patriots. I'm going Belichick getting back in. Mac Jones gives them a little bit of something that they didn't have with Cam. I think they put him in a lot of position to succeed. Their defense getting back healthy. I like New England getting back in. Neither one of us picked the Chargers. They're a lot of people's darlings. Something about year two.
Yep.
With a quarterback. Doesn't mean they won't be good down the road, and I do like a lot of their pieces.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of with you on the Chargers there. So the difference being you got Steelers in, I've got Patriots in. All right, NFC, who are your division winners?
NFC, I have the Dallas Cowboys, the Green Bay Packers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and my Los Angeles Rams.
That's right. Same. I didn't know if we'd have the same in the NFC West. I think the others are straightforward. The NFC East is the worst division in football.
It is.
It's terrible.
It is. And picking
the NFC
these three,
South ain't
these
great
three
either.
Have been tough too, because it's like, look around the NFC.
It's brutal.
The North?
It stinks.
Come on, the East?
Stinks.
The South?
South stinks. Did you
so
do
then
it?
The West.
So then the West. Did you do it?
I did.
A sweep? Me too.
I did.
Give
San Francisco, Seattle, and Arizona. All four teams in the NFC West make the playoffs.
So funny. Yep. I have it the same. I have all four of them getting in. I've got all four of those teams in the West getting in.
I totally forgot that Arizona was 8-8 last year.
Right. And I can't get to a point where I can talk myself into the Saints. I mean, the Saints maybe with Winston, but it's a big bet. The football team, there's just limitations, and I did consider them a great deal because of their division, and I think the Giants and Eagles will be really bad. There's nobody in the North I considered other than the Packers.
Yeah.
So it came down to the Saints, the football team, and the Cardinals, and I just think the Cardinals are better, even though I think everybody in that division beats themselves up a little bit. I do.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, who's your MVP?
My MVP is Josh Allen.
I'm going to go Mahomes here. I think he's got a. I mean, it's those two guys are the front runners, so neither thing is that surprising.
Yeah.
But I'll go Mahomes. All right, NFC Championship game.
Packers and Rams.
Same. Dude, you got winning it.
I got the Rams winning it.
Just ram it. I got the Packers winning it. I got Packers over Rams. You have Rams over Packers. Who do you have in the AFC?
I got Chiefs, Browns.
Same.
And I had the Chiefs winning it.
I got the Brownies.
Browns-Packers.
Super Bowl. Browns-Packers Super Bowl. They play in the regular season as well.
Yeah.
At Lambeau. Yeah. It's all happening, kids. It's all happening. Browns-Packers.
That's all in. I mean, that's an all-in push there for the Brownies.
That is. That is. Might be a year ahead of schedule, but what the hell? No one's going to hold me to this. And if I get it right, what a treat.
If you get it right, you put it on a shirt. You put the picture on the shirt and you go.
You put it on a shirt. So do you have Rams or Chiefs Super Bowl champion?
I have Chiefs.
Chiefs?
Which would be total heartbreak for Matt Stafford to get to the Super Bowl and then lose.
He's going to be so excited to play in games that matter.
That's true. That's why he wanted to go. Yeah.
One thing I think we both agree on, though, I think McVay just goes pedal to metal with him.
Oh, yeah. Same.
I think there's... Just you look what I can do with a real quarterback vibe.
Yep.
I get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. All right, Tim May from Letterman Row right here on The Fan on the Bucks and the Ducks coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3.
The Daily Coach Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by Credit Union of Ohio and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is a Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. We see a defensive touchdown again from Haskell Garrett, his second in really less than a calendar year. But, Ryan, it still just becomes so amazing when you think about the journey this young man's had to go through.
Yeah, I mean, again, to see him get a defensive score in a game, that's when the scoreboard flips, and it's a turning point in the game. And we say that those veteran guys have to play veteran. And, you know, Zach comes up with the fumble, and Haskell picks it up, and both of these guys are captains. So that was big, and this is important for Haskell to continue to grow on that. And you know, the more consistent he plays, the better he's going to be. And certainly we know what the high end of that looks like, and that was a great play for him, but also a really good play by Zach Harrison, you know, coming off the edge. And you know, that really was like a clinic tape in terms of coming off the edge, dipping, driving, and then, you know, sacking the quarterback, but getting the ball out, and then turning good to great.
We'll have another comment in just a moment.
If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time to head out on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline for a visit with Tim May of Letterman Row and right here at the Fan Tailgate Show. And pinch hit for three last week very admirably on Friday. Tim, thanks for the time, buddy. Let me start here before we talk about this week's matchup. Of course, last time these two teams played was in the national championship game, and I told this story at the beginning of the week that when I think back on the 14-15 season, I almost forget that game because it's very similar to the USA Russia hockey game in 1980, where once you beat Bama, it's almost like you forget some of that Oregon game. How do you look back on that time and that matchup?
By the way, I prefer to be known as Lou Gehrig now since I pinch hit for James Laurinaitis, but I digress. I look back on that game kind of like you did. I mean, it was like you got over the hump, which was Alabama, let's face it, and including Urban Meyer getting over that hump. And I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because I was trying to, you know, I'm getting old now, but I think Oregon might have been favored, you know, at least early. And you're kind of going, in my mind, there was no way Oregon was beating Ohio State. I think you guys probably had a similar feeling, you know. And the thing is, you can't let what happened 4 or 5 years ago cloud your judgment on what's happening now. But I did remember that Oregon team in 2009 when Ohio State played them in the Rose Bowl, 2010 Rose Bowl, and I remember, you know, an analyst of some repute, as far as I'm concerned, seeing the Oregon team and thinking they were just like a sort of a big high school team, meaning I'm talking about the guys up front, et cetera. And I never got that out of my mind, you know, from a matchup standpoint. And then I saw kind of the same thing, Oregon and Ohio State in 2014 national championship game there at Jerry's World. And I'm still trying to get that out of my mind, even though this is probably their biggest across the line, offensive line in a while, if not forever, the group they've got now. But then you watch them play Fresno State, Fresno State's got a pretty good defensive front, but I don't think it's on the level of Ohio State's defensive front. I'm not talking about the total defense. We'll get into that in a minute, I'm sure. But I don't know. It's just hard for me to get those things out of my mind, even though I try to, and make a judgment. I think it's still the difference is there in the critical areas, the way I'm looking at it.
Tim, what do you make about I mean, I think it was yesterday, Bo, where there was 10,000 tickets still available.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been covering Ohio State football for a mighty long time.
Yeah.
You know, you were helping Moses with the Ten Commandments. I'm just wondering if what do you make of it, right? What do you think it is? Because, look, I understand that there's some luster off of Oregon. I don't think anybody's really anxious about this when it comes to Saturday at noon. But it still is a Pac-12 team coming into the shoe. You know, it was the game that people were circling for a while, and I'm just not sure what the factors are that would leave the shoe not being sold out for this one. And if it's not sold out for this one, what's that mean for, I mean, my goodness, much lesser opponents that are going to come into the shoe throughout the rest of the fall?
First of all, by the way, I'm the one who gave the idea for super glue because I told Moses if he had a way to put those tablets back together, you wouldn't have to go all the way back up on that mountain. But I digress. He just looked at me funny. He said, "Shut up, kid." I was just on a national radio show about an hour ago, and they asked me the similar question. And I'm not just saying that. I'm perplexed by this for one reason. They could be playing, Murray State right now, and you're kind of wondering. Everybody's been clamoring for football again, be able to be in the stadium and fill up the shoe. And I don't get it. I mean, I really don't get it. Number one, this is number 11 versus number 3, you know, or whatever you want to, you know, whatever poll you're looking at. And it's a critical game for Ohio State on its resume to make it back to the college football playoff for a third straight year. And I really don't get it, except as I was talking to those guys, I'm now in the Costco parking lot talking to you guys, but I was talking to those guys. I was looking at my big 75-inch high-definition television across the room from me. And I remember last week when I forgot to send you a picture, Bo, but when my buddy Jeff Snook and I were watching about 3 or 4 games at once and just enjoying life for last Saturday, you know, that has a lot to do with it, I do believe, man, because number one, it's not free necessarily because, you know, you still got to pay your cable bill or your satellite bill or your internet bill, but it's a lot more convenient. And I think people have gotten used to that, but that still doesn't explain the poor number for the Ohio State Alabama national championship game last January on television, you know? So I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but I'm telling you, in many respects, college football has never been better than it is right now. I'm talking about from an entertainment value. And so I don't really have an answer for you, except don't be griping to me and others, you know, when you can't get a ticket for a game later in the year that matters, you know, but you had a chance to go see Oregon and Ohio State live in the shoe. I guess that's my big way of turning around on them.
Well, let me in terms of the actual game, Tim. I feel very comfortable about Ohio State. I saw many of the similar things you did. I watched the Oregon game. It was on one of my screens last Saturday watching them play. Did not come away incredibly impressed. You know, Thibodeau's a guy that if he's there, he's a bit of a game changer, right? But if he is there, it's not going to be 100%, not close. So he's going to be, you know, some level of what he's supposed to be, and so he won't be. Give me a scenario where Oregon makes it close. Give me a scenario where they come in here and win. Can you do that?
For Ohio State, if C.J. Stroud plays a whole game like he played in the first half and the offense do that like they did last week at Minnesota, which I don't see happening. I saw what happened in the second half, more the indicator of what's coming from this offense, which I've been eager to see for a year now. Number two, you know, I just remember Khalil Mack, and he made that instant impact against Braxton Miller. You know, Braxton Miller will never forget Khalil Mack. And Ohio State sort of struggled in that game. You remember a few years ago, Khalil Mack had that pick six early, and it kind of changed things. It kind of changed the whole tenor of the day. In fact, that's even the right term. But, I mean, if they can make some plays, Justin Flo, you know, the big rumor yesterday was he broke his foot. Well, the big rumor today is he didn't break his foot in practice. I mean, talk about that linebacker that really turned on the Jets in the second half last week for a five-star kid for Oregon, and they really helped save the day. And if Anthony Brown, you know, I don't know what to make of him because I didn't think he really got that much better in that game last week. In fact, he got worse, but a big run by him, you know, was their winning margin. I'm talking about the Oregon quarterback. So I don't really know what to make of Oregon, except they were playing a team that had already played a game, and Ohio State, you know, wasn't. So it's kind of hard to judge things. I'm just interested, like I said a while ago, about the matchups that you know you're talking about going back in the memory bank. I'm interested to see how the what the matchups really are on the offensive and defensive lines, because that will tell the tale in this one. And an Oregon without Thibodeau is still a pretty good defense. They still got some guys that can make some plays, Dorlans and some of those guys, but they're not the same.
No,
they're not the same with and without. Let me just put it that way. I'm very curious to watch the first several possessions just to see how things are going up front.
Yeah,
Tim, real quick.
Go ahead.
Real quick. Okay, I know it's tough, but real quick for you.
After
the weekend observations around the Big Ten, have we already faced the best offense that we're going to see all year?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. That's not even a real quick.
It's real quick. It's yes or no, Tim. What do you mean? It's easy.
About a running back that was really great, and now he doesn't get to play anymore, you know? But, yeah, they dude, what they did when they came out with seven offensive linemen and an extra tight end, I don't even know. James, I was going to ask you. I was going to turn the tables on you. Did you ever just swallow hard, you know, when you saw, you know, when somebody went to jumbo and stuff, knowing what it was going to take to get in there and get that tackle? I mean, I'm just
wondering. It's called Wisconsin. Well, it was Iowa.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, all those. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know it's
going to
be long day.
Mendenhall in Illinois was a full day.
Yeah. Wisconsin was terrible. Let me headbutt a 330-pound guard and try to tackle John Clay without momentum. That was fun.
I'll tell you what I was disappointed in. I was disappointed in the way Graham Mertz played. I mean, I thought, you know, that's a real disappointment because I thought that was going to give them a shot. But
and Clifford.
Man,
Sean Clifford wasn't good either.
You may be right. Tanner Morgan, you know, multi-year starting quarterback, great running back. And Ibrahim, I'm not sure anybody's got all of that going for them.
No, I don't either. We always have it going for us when you're on. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for your time.
Hey, always enjoyed, fellas. I love being that Lou Gehrig in the lineup.
We'll see. Don't get too chesty. We got three things on a Thursday up next. Fish with Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Are men and bones stupid in real life? Yes. Yes, they are. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan. D, drinking responsibly with a touch of class. Is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And it's time for three things on a Thursday. Hit a chopper.
One, two, one, two.
Three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
All right. As the great Chris Quinn pointed out yesterday, Billions is back. I watched the episode last night with the blonde. I am fearing that COVID changed that show forever because they had to stop filming.
Yeah.
And
it's still the same. Or were you kind of just like, eh?
You'll see for yourself. It's really hard to pick up something like in the middle of storylines.
Yeah.
You probably have been better off rewatching the first six episodes of the season.
Yeah.
It's like you're jumping in the middle of a moving car. It's really. I'm worried. And I still like it. It's still got a lot of the things you want, but I don't know. A little lackluster out of the gates out of Billions.
Yeah.
A little lackluster.
My first thing here, the weather is absolutely incredible today. I mean, it is perfection. Been sitting here in some light sweats, a light sweatshirt, sun's out, nice breeze. I mean, Ohio, well done today. I know I'll be really mad at you going forward, but just well done today.
So when you buy a new house, especially for your first time, everybody's telling you, you know, the normal stuff like, hey, you're responsible for everything now. You know, you got to take care of the landscaping. If something breaks, you pay for it. What they don't tell you is that October comes up, and I'd never really paid attention to how much those grab-all bags of candy cost that you buy for the trick-or-treaters that come by, but I've been looking at them as I've been going through the grocery store the last few weeks, and they're not cheap. So that's something that I'm going to have to add into the budget to get that for the trick-or-treaters.
Got to get that worked out, Chops. Number two for me, huge sense of relief this morning as I got the final schedule for the boys and all their football and basketball this weekend. I don't know how this happened, but both Saturday and Sunday, we avoided conflicts with both the Buckeyes and the Browns.
Mm.
That's impossible.
That's
impossible.
Win.
So I'm going to get to coach the kids, watch the games not on DVR in real time. Yeah. That was not in the cards. I was prepared for the opposite. Good job out of whoever's doing the scheduling.
Yeah. I mean, I went from having Buffalo at Nebraska to just sitting at home this weekend watching games, you know?
A lot of great football to watch, buddy.
A lot of good football. So my second thing is, Shelly has been like, hey, you know what? Just spend more time over at the barn, you know? That way you're not in the house, all this. So what that equated to the last 2 days was about a solid 5 hours of just cutting grass. And I must say, there's nothing more beautiful. There's about 7 acres opposite the stream here that I cut yesterday with my Kubota. Thank you, guys.
Green I love Sons. It.
And I'm convinced there's nothing more beautiful than when you can see it freshly cut. It just looks so pretty. Oh, it looks so pretty.
You got a sense of what harvest is all about.
That's right.
It's beautiful.
In a who are these for moment, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Ed Sheeran, he's doing some sort of kickoff concert tonight for the NFL season.
I'm glad you brought this up.
So the league is selling official Sheeran gear that has the shield on it as well. It includes a hat, a shirt, a starter jacket. Our guy Mike Renner was nice enough to throw in a screenshot joking that he was buying all three. I hope he was joking. But if you do want to buy all three... It's only $361 after tax, and you can be all Sheeraned up for the NFL season kickoff. Now, that seems like a pretty good deal to me.
All right, this is a serious question. This is not tongue-in-cheek. And he's incredibly talented, like absurdly gifted, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Do Ed Sheeran fans want Ed Sheeran merchandise? Like, is it like the Grateful Dead or, you know, some of those 80s rock bands where people want to wear the gear? Like... Are there people who want to walk around with Sheeran on the in a
Sheeran starter jacket?
No, probably not. I've never even been
Who's
one to be
this
like.
For?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like he's not Johnny Cash.
I'd rock a Johnny Cash.
He's not Willie Nelson. Like who's wearing the gear, man?
Yeah,
I was floored by that. Finally, for me, just let it sink in because you can't. I don't want it to be. I know you don't take it for granted, and whatever you think about him. Tom Brady is opening year 22 as an NFL player. Year 22. The average career is what, 2.5 years? Year 22. He's going to make his 300th start tonight. He does so as a defending Super Bowl champion and quarterbacking the team that people picked to win this year at age 44. You will never see this again. I don't believe
it. No. I don't. No. 44. That just, like, crazy. I knew that information, but crazy. When you just say it out loud, it's just, my goodness.
It's crazy.
My last thing, look, from here on out, we're going to have a Thursday night football game every week.
Yep.
Here we are, baby. Let's go. It's not really all in football until the NFL season kicks off, and it's here.
Last one for me. Every once in a while, I get woken up in the middle of the night because Kit doesn't lay down. She just throws her body onto the ground, so every once in a while, you just hear a thunk. And there she is on the ground, and you're like, what's going on? And that's what she does. She does it all times of the day, but obviously it's more jarring at night.
Right, we're back tomorrow. Ryan Day Show up next. Rothman and Ice to follow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.